Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. It is always a pleasure to have our next guest with us. It is Mississippi Mills Mayor Krista Lowry. Krista, welcome back to Lake 88.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Always love to be here.
Now, I just want to mention before we get into the main reason that you're here is there will be a story that begins, I do believe, later this afternoon. You're in prison. In a good way. It's for charity. And I just want our listeners to make sure that they listen to this because it's a fundraiser for your local food bank and they can help free you and help a great cause at the same time.
That would be great. Some people have heard that I've been arrested for overconsumption of coffee. And, you know, it's true. I can confirm that that is true and would really appreciate their help getting out of here because let me tell you, the coffee when you're incarcerated, it's swell. So
people can donate to the food bank at the local libraries and the food bank itself, I do believe, correct?
That's right. So we're taking donations at the municipal office here. You can certainly drop it off right at the food bank in Carlton Place, Lanark County Food Bank. And the two branches of the library in Elmont and Pakenham are partnering with us as well to take donations.
Well, best of luck with that. And
thank you.
The main reason we have you here, from August 21st to 23rd, more than 2,500 municipal leaders, including several from around here, government officials, public servants, sponsors, and so many other people, gathered in London to take part in the 2023 AMO conference, the Association of Municipalities in Ontario. One of the delegates was, of course, Mayor Lowry. So I'm going to try to put this diplomatically. This was a little bit of a different conference in some respects. A lot of it, you know, business as usual, but there was a couple things that were a little bit, I don't want to say off, but certainly different than they have been in years past.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Bob. I mean, for one, it just being a huge, like it was a record-breaking conference. As you say, there was nearly 2,500 at it this time around. So it just keeps growing and growing. And we were in London. We have been in London before, but not in recent years, of course, with COVID and everything else. So it was an interesting time to see what's been going on in the city of London. And of course, a lot of us are aware of the incredible homelessness issues that are happening in London. And where we were staying, we were seeing the problem face to face. And the mayor of London participated in a session along with the mayor of Kingston to talk about some of the ways that they're addressing the issue, trying to meet people's needs, trying to provide dignity, and trying to understand the problem on a root level. So there was certainly a lot of discussion. Our entire last day, Wednesday, was focused on housing and homelessness, and timely because there's more issues with homelessness now than there has ever been before. So it was really appropriate to hear from the London mayor on that and the Kingston mayor as well. But it was a bit of a different conference for sure. A bit of a surprise, or maybe not a surprise, that the chief of staff with Minister Clark's ministry, the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing, resigned partway through the conference. It was actually right after the conclusion of what we call the bear pit. It's the minister's forum. So all of cabinet or most of cabinet is up on the stage, and the 2,500 of us are there asking them questions. So right at the tail end of that, the announcement was hitting the news. So we were getting all that on our phones. So the timing was interesting on that. There had also been a lot of announcements from cabinet, and I don't know that any of us were expecting that. So I don't know if that was a conscious decision on the part of Doug Ford and his cabinet, or if this was where we were at this stage, in their mandate. But they did share quite a few announcements. If I stay focused on the announcements they had made. Minister of Health, for example, Sylvia Jones, had announced changes to public health funding. So to revert back to what we had been. So the 75% provincial funding and 25% municipal cost as the ratio. So that was announced as an increase. It'll be increasing 1% annually to get back to what we had been. That was an announcement that she had shared. The premier had announced part of the Ontario Building Faster Fund. It's a three-year, $1.2 billion initiative to support housing-related needs for municipalities. And it can provide $400 million annually to municipalities who meet 80% of their housing targets. And 10% of that has been set aside, reserved for small municipalities like places like Mississippi Mills, communities that you'll find in Lanark County. So smaller municipalities, northern remote communities. The province has been signing agreements with municipalities on targets. So this is where this funding is going to be attributed to those municipalities who are meeting those housing targets. Little places like ours are below, I suppose, the radar in terms of what they're wanting to focus their attention on to get those numbers. But it is good news that there's that 10% that's allocated for us. There's really no details on what that means or how we would access it or how we could apply it to housing. So it was, here's the announcement, and there's more to come, I'm sure, later on that one.
That's what I heard quite a bit afterwards, was that the particular plan, it was nice to hear, you know, an update and so on, but it was light on details.
That's right.
You know, and really, when you have this type of a stage, you'd like to see it, but we do know that there are issues currently going on right now within that particular Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing that may have, of course, they would never say it, but that may have sort of veered that off course for a little, you know, a little bit. So we are hoping to hear more details once they get, I mean, for lack of a better term, once they get that situation sorted out. I think also too, because we've gone through federal elections, provincial elections, municipal elections, where housing and affordability are all the top issue, to see more than 2,500 municipal leaders out there, it seems like that was a lot of people who are out there looking for particular answers. When you look at it from your own perspective as a municipal leader, mayor of Mississippi Mills, does that sort of track, were you disappointed to see, well, maybe there could have been a little bit more detail here, but at the same time, there's a lot going on with this particular ministry?
I think you're right, Bob. I think most of us go to these large conferences for that opportunity to hear, you know, straight from the ministers, hear straight from government, to understand what we can be expecting over the next year or years. And while it's really good news to know that there's funds available, it would have been all the more helpful to know, well, how do we plan? How do we apply? How do we, you know, what are all those details? Because it's great news until maybe you get the details and then you find out, well, no, it's not going to work for us because of X, Y, or Z, or we needed to have done A, B, and C, and had we known, we could have adjusted how we were doing our own work here in Mississippi Mills. So it's not uncommon that when you go to these events and announcements are made, sometimes they are light on details. I don't know if it's that these are new programs, they're still having to kind of fully cook how those they're going to actually roll out. Because you're right, there's lots going on. There's lots that is taking the attention of the province right now. So I'm hoping that we'll get further details out about some of those announcements. A lot of them were good news announcements. You know, a lot of it was really good news announcements. Some of it not as much. The premier did also announce that he's putting strong mayor powers in place. I think it was as of September 11th for quite a few additional municipalities, so long as their populations are over 50,000. Nobody in Lanark County is over that number, so it's not going to take effect to any of us here. But it was interesting in the room because there's not many of us that want that. Mm-hmm. not many of us want to move to that kind of a system. It's an American system to have strong mayor powers in place. We've always had a weak mayor system in place here. And I know there are some municipalities that are embracing and are appreciative of those tools. In general, you know, I can't speak for the room, but it wasn't an announcement most of us were excited about. I could say that for sure.
Understood. Now, just in the interest of time here, I want to get to this. I think this is a very important thing. You asked a very important question. Tell our listeners what that was and who you were asking.
So as part of the Ministers Forum, as I say, we call it the bear pit. We can all stand up and ask a question. Well, we can't all, there's 2,500 of us. We can try to stand up and ask a question. I was fortunate in being one of 19 that did was able to ask a question. And mine was to the Minister of Finance. And it was regarding the continued delays on property tax reassessments. We had all just recently gotten news from MPAC saying that it will be extended once again to the end of 2024. And that doesn't change revenues for the municipality. It doesn't directly change people's taxes. But what it could change is the ratio between how much residential tax, how much commercial tax, how much industrial tax a municipality collects. And my question was simply, you know, why the delay? I think we all want to see a fair system that's fair to the municipality and stable, but even more so fair and stable for property owners. And the response of the minister was that I wonder if they're wanting to move to a system of, rather than 4 years, something a little shorter. The answer was respectful. You know, there's certainly a plan that the minister has, but he was not sharing a lot of details about it, other than, you know, it's important for them to have a fair and equitable system as well. So I mean, we're all on the same page in that way. But I didn't get a sense that, yes, we're going to have those reassessments actually occur in 2025. It may be another number of years before we see those reassessments happen. So it's disappointing, but at the same time, it certainly sounds like it's a priority. It just hasn't come to the top of the list, perhaps.
What year are they using now? To
2016.
So, okay, now I have to admit, I know very little about this area, but would those assessments, once they are done in 2024, 2025, home values have skyrocketed between 2016 and now. So would the individual homeowners not be in line for a huge increase? I mean, we see this quite often when the budgets come down from municipalities. They say that they're only increasing taxes by 1.2% or whatever, but there's also the assessments that will increase homeowners' tax, you know, what they actually pay. So could we possibly be in line for like a massive spike?
I don't think so. And the reason I say that is because you're right. Like when municipalities are looking at, when councils are looking at their budgets, there's a portion that's going to be taken by new assessment. So new homes being built and whatnot in our municipality. So as that assessment number grows, if there was to be a spike and all of a sudden, you know, if my home went from being a $300,000 home to a $600,000 home, and if that was the case for many in the community, your assessment value for the whole municipality is going to grow significantly. So it could be that your tax rate actually ends up going the other way to kind of balance, because as one goes up, the other usually balances it the other way. So rather than it be, you know, a whatever percentage of increase, if there's a large increase on the assessment side, generally you don't see as large an increase on the tax rate side. So it's kind of a balance. But what makes it inconsistent is if there's more commercial, if there's more industrial that hasn't come online, those kinds of development, that's not getting reflected quite accurately. And there's a lot going on right now. You know, there's a lot going on with the number of homes that are being built, the cost of construction, the value of those homes. So having it be as sharp and as accurate as possible is really one of the most fair ways that we can administer the property tax system.
All right. So something to watch for sure. And I'm glad you've got your eyes on it. Yeah.
I'm glad you have your eyes on it for us.
So I have a feeling it won't be the last time we have a conversation about this particular subject. We're just about out of time, but I wanted to make sure that you got to deliver all the messaging that you wanted to surrounding the AMO conference, your question and what happened over the past or over the few days there last week.
There is one more I would note to you, Bob, and I know we're out of time, so I'll keep it short. But I was asked to participate in a multi-ministerial delegation with AMO, coordinated discussion, roundtable discussion. There was four municipalities, the Ontario Native Women's Association, and then a number of ministers, the Solicitor General, Minister Kirzner was there, Minister Parsa from the Ministry of Children, Community and Social Services, and then Associate Minister Williams, who we've met with before, Minister of Women's Economic and Social Opportunities. And it was a discussion about intimate partner violence and gender-based violence. I was really quite honored. They asked that I would open the roundtable of discussions. And the purpose really was to seek a provincial and municipal collaboration to address the issue of gender-based violence and intimate partner violence. And it was really first step. It was, we had about a half an hour, which was certainly generous on their time. So the goal really to, you know, let's agree to collaborate on this issue. Certainly I mentioned Lanark County being the first to declare IPV an epidemic. It was recommendation number one of 86 from the Renfrew Inquest. AMO themselves had made that declaration as a board. So there's about 40 municipalities, over 40 municipalities, plus the AMO board representing municipalities of Ontario and the federal government have made those declarations now. And a declaration on itself, I mean, that's not action. And it's not to say the declaration must happen, but it is a signal of it being a priority, a signal of showing how, yes, this is a crisis and it's a growing issue in many of our communities. But the overall message in that meeting with the ministers was, you know, let's work together. We all have parts of this puzzle. We all need to be working on this. And I think it was the first discussion of, I'm hoping, very of a long conversation and a long, long road of action. It was good. It was a really good discussion. I was very grateful for AMO for pulling that together. And it was very powerful having the Ontario Native Women's Association side by side with us for that discussion.
It's certainly something, it's an area where Lanark County is a leader. There's no doubt about it in the approach to ending IPV. We are fortunate to speak with Aaron Lee from Lanark County Interval House every Thursday. There's a story that goes on a different one of those recommendations from the Renfrew Inquest that you speak of. And during that time, she tells us about people, municipal leaders like yourself and others, and how important this is and putting it at the forefront. And that is being recognized across the province as really the standard by so many people. So it's incredible that you and, you know, your colleagues from across Lanark County are being recognized for that effort, but more importantly, that this conversation is happening and continuing.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And it can't just be a conversation. It needs to be action as well. But in order for us to get there, in order for us to be working in a collaborative way, we need to start talking to each other. And it's not simply a municipal issue. It's not simply a provincial issue. It's not simply a policing issue. It's not simply a social services issue. This is an everybody problem. So we all need to be part of the discussion. And I feel like this was a first step towards that.
Excellent. Well, Mayor Crystal Lowry, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I appreciate it. I look forward to our next conversation. And thank you so much for all this wonderful information for our listeners in your municipality and beyond.
Thanks very much, Bob. Always a pleasure.
Our guest today on In Focus, Mayor Crystal Lowry from the municipality of Mississippi Mills. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Have a wonderful afternoon.